We're in Chelek Aleph, Perek Hey, for the last time. Bezrat Hashem, we're going to finish up Chelek Aleph today. It's been a long journey. It ends with the most quintessential core dichotomy that exists in reality, Tov and Ra. Last time we made a presentation of Tov and Ra, some of which was correct, some of which was incorrect. So we'll clarify that today as we close up. There's not much text left, so we're actually going to go back a little bit and just clarify a little bit more. I realize that while this is, I don't even know how many times, 1, 2, 3, 4, like my fifth time-ish teaching Baruch Hashem Chelek Aleph, you guys know me at this point. Many of the previous times I've taught it, we probably ran out of time and I never finished teaching Perek Hey. So I think that's why there's a little bit less clarity, is because I probably haven't, these last few OTOs, I haven't taught as many times. So I went back and really spent time with it. And I thank you for pointing out, for like thinking critically as we were learning together. I don't think it was presented 100% clearly, and we're going to do that today. Okay, so we're going to clarify and then finish up. And then I got a lot of work ahead of me because I've never taught Perek. I've never taught Chelek Aleph before, so it's going to be a journey for a little. Yeah, never. I've read it twice. I learned it on my own. I learned it with a Bekiyut Chavrutza. I've never been ma'ayin into it. So I'm really excited to learn it with you, especially since I know you're going to call me out on stuff, which is great. So coming back to Tov and Ra. I got it. Chelek Aleph, Perek Hey. We really started with Ot Zayin last time. We finished Ot Vav, which ended off Bechira Chofshit. Ot Zayin is where the issues of Tov and Ra begin to emerge. It was there that the Ramchal pointed out that, again, we have a mitziut of Tov and Ra in Ot Zayin. Well, actually, let's read it through there. We're going to skim through the stuff that we got right, and then we'll stop at the stuff that I did not present clearly or correctly. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu was gozer, that there would be in reality both Tov and Ra. Now, it has to be, as we've been saying for all of Perek Hey, everything in reality has to stem from kochot. If they don't stem from kochot, they have no way of getting here. If we go back to our projector model, it's so convenient there's one in the room. If we go back to our projector model, if you don't have something in the film, it can't be on the screen. So somewhere over there has to be Tov and somewhere over there has to be Ra. How does it manifest? How does it get from there to here? So that's what we're going to talk about. But his point is Tov and Ra have to exist in the kochot and nivdalim. Because if there is no kochot that are Tov or Ra, or relates to Tov or Ra, and there's no way for it to get to the screen. What did we say was the exception to our projector model? Bechira Chofshit. Excellent. Good. That's exactly as the Ramchal would have phrased it. Which is exactly the point. Meaning, Bechira, is Bechira an object, or is Bechira a means? Right, Bechira is not an object. So Bechira allows things to go wacky in terms of how things get from the screen to the projector, back and forth, which way, what way, it doesn't matter. That's the exception. But there's no exception, even within the realm of Bechira Chofshit, which is the only exception. It has to be both on the screen and in the kochot. That's the point there. So there must be some source in the kochot. Even Bechira, which breaks the model, breaks how it travels, not if it's in one place or the other. So, we have Tov and Ra. Because everything that's in this world has to have roots in kochot. And through them it goes into the physical world. This is a meaningful pointing to an empty board. Meaning the board here is where that projector would project to. So for things to show up here meaning olam hazeh, or the screen, it has to exist in the kochot or in the projector. V'nei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu organized all of these kochot, which are the source of everything, as we said before, now these kochot, the film, the kochot themselves, they can be in a state of tikkun or a state of kilkul. We're recapping and clarifying and fixing. We're creating tikkun, right? So they can either be in a state of tikkun or kilkul. One of those two modalities. The hainu. Shimatzei bahem Matzav tov v'lo tov. They can exist. Any koach that we've been talking about so far can exist in a reality, can have a reality of tov or lo tov, in a good place or not expressing its goodness. V'amitat tov hamatzav yiye, and the true goodness of reality is sheyeh b'hachana le'or b'or panav yitbarach, is that it's prepared to receive God's light, the light of God's face, so to speak. Ve'yir lehem, and it shines upon them. V'hofcho, on the opposite of that, shetechsar mehem ha'achana hazot, that they're not prepared to receive it. V'yitalemi mehem, and they don't, and they're not actually receiving God's light. Meaning, if something exists within the film, and there's either the light's not shining, then it has no way of getting from there to here, from the projector to the screen. Or if the light's shining, but something is obscuring that light from getting to the film, simply something obscuring between the bulb and the film, then it's not going to come through. Then also there's going to be a state of lo tov, or a state of kilkul. V'toldot tikunam bashfalim hu, and the ramifications of their being fixed in lower realms, hatov behem, is when they're good, v'hefech behefech. Meaning, again, if it's in a good space, if it's in tikun, then we're good. And if not, then we're in a state of lo tov. Moving on to chet, which is where things got a little murkier. V'tzarik sh'teida, ki hinei af al pi she'be'emet sibat kol inyanei hatov, b'chol makom shehem. Even though, in truth, the ultimate cause of good, wherever it is, pirush, bein b'kochot bein b'tol zehim, whether we're talking about good in the kochot or good on the projected screen. That was literally mixing the metaphor. Kochot, whether good in the projector and on the screen, or in the kochot and in reality, all good. Hinei hi he'arat panav yitbarach kemo shezacharnu. It's just an expression of God's light. That light comes through the koach and into the world. Meaning that what we're experiencing in this world as tov is we're experiencing that light as it gets funneled through the koach and expressed within reality. But what is then definitionally tov? Tov equals arat panim. The other side of the equation is not going to be as balanced. Tov itself is, or we could, instead of harat panim, instead of terms of the state, we can even call it harat panav. The light that comes from God's face, so to speak. That is the tov.
V'sibat hara b'chol makom hu he'elam he'arato.
The cause of ra is when there isn't he'arat panim. So then what is ra? Not clear yet. This is where I think I started to go off track. Meaning when there is hester panim, there is no he'arat panim, and then there is no tov. If there's no tov, there might also be ra. But his point is, when there is v'sibat ha-ra, the cause of ra, what allows ra to become manifest, is when there is no light coming from God's face, so to speak, or it's not being expressed here in this world.
Omnam, latov yitzohar ha-adon baruch hu b'shem siba mamash.
For tov, God is considered the actual definitive cause, liklalo v'lifratav, in general and in all its specific details and manifestations. Aval lara, but for evil, lo nit'ah harehu yitbarach shemo siba mamash. He is not the direct cause of evil. Because a Kadosh Baruch Hu, as Chazal tell us, won't put his name on ra. His name is not directly associated with ra. It's not going to come directly from him. Ela he'elem oro, when God's light is hidden, v'ester panav, and God's face is hidden, yechashev lashorasho, this is considered the root of ra. Ki zeu sivato be'emet, this is really its cause. V'ze al tzad he'edar hatov, and this is through a lack of tov. Aval, if And this is what creates a lack of tov. V'zeh altzad he'edar ha'tov. This is what creates a lack of tov.
Does lack of tov equal ra?
Aval lifrate inyana v'mitziutam, but for the details of ra and how they manifest, hinei Adon Baruch Hu God shehu kol yachol ve'ein lechefzo miniyah v'lo yichotol gvul klal, because he is omnipotent and there is no limit to his omnipotence. He is all powerful. Barashoresh umakor prati, he created a specific root. Through which is guided how Ra will be manifest. Meaning we have to still fit it back into the structure. But there is some sort of root, which is the root of evil, right? From that root, which is specifically created and designed in a particular way. Ra in this world is not random. Ra in this world is very intentional, because it all comes from this very specific, defined, created by God, root of evil. This shoresh was created very intentionally, and when Ra comes into the world, it comes from this root down in very specific ways to create a very specific reality of Ra.
Who decides for Ra to come to
the... So that's the question. Meaning, here's the gap. The gap exists in this space. The root will produce Ra. That's what it does. But what causes it to produce or not to produce?
Where?
That's our question. And that's, I think, where we got, where I got lost last time. What causes it to produce or not to produce? What is this root? What does it consist of? What is it comprised of? Going back to our chart of everything that exists in creation, what do we have very quickly? Think back to Ot Aleph. Gashmim. Ot Aleph, not Parag Aleph. Gashmim. In the Gashmim we had El Yonim and Tachtonim. And in the Ruchanim, we had Nishamot, Nivdalim, and the Nivdalim were divided into Malachim and Kochot. He said, this is everything that is. This Shoresh has to be something. It's not going to be in the Gashmi side, because it produces in the physical world. Question is it a Malach? Is it a koach? Is it a nigdal? Is it a neshama? Well, what can we already take off the list? We're taking off elyonim, tachlonim, and gashmim.
It can't be a neshama.
It can't be a neshama. Definitely not, because a neshama is that which is destined to be unified with a goof, and that's definitely not what we're talking about. So it's going to be a nigdal, either a malach or a koach, and what's it likely going to be?
A koach.
A koach, which is what you called me out on, Sherry. I believe it was you, or Sima. I'm sorry, now I forget. Which is, are these separate kochot? Or are they part of the kochot? It was Sima. So we'll clarify that in a second. But we have to identify exactly what this is and how it works. If it's a koach, which it likely will end up being, if it's a koach, how does that koach function, if not directly from God's willing it to function in that, willing it to function actively? Okay? So he created this root. So the Ra that comes out of this root, because it was designed that way to bring Ra into the world in a specific way, if it gets activated. Really, we could just start a science fiction right here, right? As we activate the root of evil. Like there just like, seems to be somebody like cackling in the background with a mustache, right? But like, that's the words, right? The Shoresh Hara. This is the, so I'm just trying to translate it to be translating, but I don't know if that's helpful, because what does the root of evil really mean, except for this, which means we could just ignore the English terms. So, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it specific borders and boundaries of how it manifests, based on, unsurprisingly, what God wanted, the way that God wanted the world to function down here, because God revolves everything around us, everything around humanity and what the ultimate goal is. So we created a Shoresh HaRa that would manifest Ra in a situation where Ra is activated, that would directly relate to what we need to experience as Ra in this world when it gets activated. But it, like everything else, is designed around us. Can't tell if the blank stares are processing or confusion. So ask. Let's talk it out.
I'm waiting for you to finish so that I can finish processing it.
Okay. Which we talked about at length in terms of the meaning of those different words last time. That stays true. So, v'inyan ha-shoresh hazeh. And here, I copied and pasted from the English in your editions years ago, and that's also what threw me off. I wrote a literal translation of something which is not what it means. V'inyan ha-shoresh hazeh, meaning he's now going to, in this next paragraph, define what is this shoresh. What is it? So how do you translate the next phrase? Hu klal kochot shonim.
It's a category of different kochot.
Right, what does that make it sound like? Sima, which side does it sound like it's falling on? Of your question from last time.
That there's a category of kochot that are evil.
That is the correct way to read it. The imprecise translation that I wrote in my book on top of these words is not true, or is not helpful, one of the two. That's how I would read it. That's correct. And based on all of the research that I did from other Sfarim explaining the Ramchal here, it seems to be a Dover Pashut. So there are a group of kochot, which are a group of kochot, say, again, according to other sources than Ramchal that were quoted in these Sfarim that I was looking up, there is a whole other group of kochot, which are kochot that we have not yet talked about until now. All of the time go out of their way to say, not the kochot from earlier on in this perek. Not the kochot in Ot Aleph and Ot Bet. They actually specifically say not the kochot in Ot Bet. Because the kochot in Ot Aleph, it's giving us all of the things in reality. But when he starts to talk about how things work in this world, he wasn't dealing with Ra yet. He's introducing it here. So when we were learning in Ot Bet about what the kochot do and don't do, they were really only the general kochot, not these unique category of kochot that are the kochot of Ra.
But does the root of evil create the kochot of Ra?
No. The root of evil is comprised of these kochot.
So we're still not sure how.
So now we know what, we don't know how.
Okay,
we've defined what, not how. And he's going to keep going into, the next thing he's going to do is go into the how. Okay? V'inyan ha-shoresh hazeh hu klal kochot shonim. It's a different category of kochot. Yishtalshelu mehem, which come from them, hachisaron v'harot kulam b'chol v'chinotehem, where all aspects of lacking and evil all come out for them, which in fact is what we have on the board. Everything stems from these kochot of Ra. Bein bash nogeh lanefesh, bein bash nogeh laguf. Meaning, it doesn't matter on what level, whether spiritual or physical. All of it's going to come from these roots, from these kochot. Bechol pratehem lemachlekotam, in all of their details and all of their divisions. Ve'od nedaber mizeh b'chilak hasheni b'siyata d'shmaya. We'll talk about this later on in the sefer. V'inei klal hakochot ha'ela mitnaheg lif'ol o shelo lif'ol. This particular category of kochot either can be active or inactive. They can be switched on or off. Meaning they're not always going to be active, which needs to be so. Because when God is intentionally moving everything forward, actively moving everything forward, he's being active. And everything he does is tov, because it comes from Erat Panav. But when God pulls back his harat panim, when there is no light shining on them, then these activate. Meaning a lack of God's light makes these turn on. I don't know if this is useful mashal yet because I haven't had enough time to process meaningfully, but the way it kind of like stuck out in my mind is like the types of night lights that you have, where like if the light is on, the light knows to be off, but the second you turn the light off, then the night light turns on. You know what I'm talking about? Meaning we have a concept that when you create a lack of something, something else will then step up.
Glow in the dark.
What?
Glow in the dark stuff?
No, I think glow in the dark stuff. Depends on what type of glow in the dark you're talking about, but yes.
Like
Yeah. But they're like actual nightlights, which like are sensitive to light. Mm-hmm. So these kochot are sensitive to light. When the light is shining, they're off. That's the chiddush. When the light is shining, they're off. When the light is off, they turn on. V'inei, klal ha-kochot ha'ele minehek lif'ol sho lif'ol. Bein b'kulo, bein b'chalakav. Meaning they could be fully active or fully inactive, which is also true, by the way, of some of those nightlights. How brightly they will shine will depend on how little or how much light there is in the room. Those nightlights will be like on very dimly during the day if it's hit by sunlight, by low-level sunlight, but if the light in the room is on, then they'll totally turn off. Right? So they can be either totally on, totally off, or partially off. But they don't always have, they can be not functioning, or non-active, partially active, or fully active. They can exist in any one of those modes. Achar ha'elem oroi barashmo v'ester panav, meaning dependent on how brightly God's light is shining. Ki kifishi or ha'elem, according to the amount of hiddenness of God's light, kach b'shiur zet inatim sitao mishalah el kol el klal ha'kochot ha'ile o el chalakim menu shiif alu. Because according to the amount, the exact measure of hiddenness of God's light, he has to state in the negative, because that's what it's about. To the exact extent, to the exact measure that God's light is lessened, to that same extent, there will be given rulership and power to these kochot, or to an aspect of them to act in the world. They become active. When these kochot become strong and take authority, yuchash koach hatov, then tov lessens. V'itkalkel matzav hakochot hashoshim nivrim shezacharnu. Then the other kochot become broken and weakened. Meaning, when these kochot become active, let's replace them.
It is the shorish of ra. When these kochot hara,
when they're active, they cause, as part of their activity, the regular kochot, the kochot we've been talking about until now, to move into a state of kilkul. They negatively impact the other kochot. Right? That's the words here. When they become, when they take authority, when they become strong, then the koach hatov is lessened. And the root, kochot, of all of the rest of reality become in a state of kilkul. And they and their manifestations become weak. When these negative kochot are subjugated, and we take away from them ownership and activity, then yitgaber hatov, vituknu shorshei hanivraim, and then the roots, the kochot, the root kochot of all of reality become in a state of tikkun. They're fixed. They're able to receive all of the light. And they are established in a state of good, and they and their projected realities are strengthened. Everything that we've mentioned for the entire Sefer so far, in terms of the war between good and evil, between Seichel and Chomer, the whole and all aspects of fixing and brokenness, Shoresh kol ha'inanim kulam, the root of all of these things, heim hitgabrut ha'kochot ha'ele, is about the strengthening of one group of kochot or the other group of kochot. V'hagia inanam v'toltam v'nivraim, and their manifestation in the created world, bashorashim o ba'anafim, whether in their roots or in their branches, o hachna'atam u'vitul pulatam, or whether or not they're going to be subjugated and their activity is going to be nullified. And whether or not these kochot hara are totally removed from reality, both in root and in manifestation. Is that a clearer presentation of how good and evil function? When the kochot are functioning properly, and the light of God is shining upon them, everything is good, definitionally, because it's all coming from the light of God. When the light of God is obscured, lessened, there's hester panim. That affects two things. It no longer gives the light necessary for those kochot to function, and suddenly these other kochot turn on. And that creates a matzav of ra and kilkul in the other kochot. Creates a matzav of ra, kama, and a state of kilkul in the other kochot.
What about, like, humans, in terms of, like, what's our decisions based on these kochot hara? Meaning, if we make a bad decision...
Are we working in the tivit mukhrachat model or the bechiriit model? So we're in the bechiriit model, and you want to make a choice. What's your question?
Meaning it's the same rules that apply to the other kochot?
Ish. No. Bechira always defies the regular rules. It is, yeah, yes and no. Meaning if I want to make, I'm standing at the crossroads and I want to make a free will decision.
An active decision.
An active decision definitionally is going to be a free will decision.
Right.
Right, so I want to make a free will decision. What I'm basically saying is I am going to either base, bottom line, which we've been saying since Perek Dalet, I'm either going to, through my free will decision, increase the amount of light that's shining into the world,
right,
or decrease the amount of light that's shining into the world. If I increase the amount of light that's shining into the world, I weaken the kochot hara, therefore bringing the kochot hatov into a greater state of tikkun, and letting more light come into the kochot of the normal kochot. Kochot hatov, quote unquote.
Okay.
If I make a bad decision, if I make a free will decision that's ra, I create more hester panim. I obscure more of God's light, giving more strength and activity to the kol tara, and that impacts the whole world in the opposite way.
Okay.
Now, God can also do the same thing. God can also do the same thing. God is never the direct cause of ra, but God can cause ra. How? You tell me. God can control his own harat or hester panim. Now, when God is being meir more light, what is he doing? He's creating tov. When God is removing his own light, is he creating ra? He is creating the possibility for the kochot hara to become active, but he's not flicking the switch. And that's why God is considered the indirect cause of ra, but the direct cause of tov. So, tov and ra can exist in the world outside of our free will actions. God can make more of his light shine or less of his light shine. The uniqueness of man is we can push that in one direction or the other. We can cause more light or withhold light. Otherwise, it's up to God how much he wants to shine or not shine. If he's shining, he's creating tov. If he's not shining, he is creating the ability for the kochot hara to turn on and create ra. So he is the definitional indirect cause of ra, the definitional direct cause of tov. Yes?
So when like people say like, oh, how could these terrible, terrible things, these people do terrible things to other people, right? It's like, how could God let that happen? So you're saying...
But if it's within the realm of Bechira Chofshit, the answer is, that's why we're here.
Right.
How could God let that happen? It's got
to
be...
human's decision,
yeah,
to choose bad.
But when a natural disaster happens, that's a legitimate question. How could God have let that happen?
Right.
How could God have let that many people die in that earthquake, in that tidal wave, in that whatever?
Right.
That's a legitimate question. If there's no Bechira... Yes, and yeah, it's a little more complicated. Let's keep it simple for a second. The answer is, so God could have withheld some of his Ha'arat Panim. And he knew exactly what was going to happen. He created these kochot hara. He knew what was going to happen when he withheld his tov. He didn't cause it, but he caused it indirectly.
Right.
Now, the only way, the asterisk there is very important. When there is hester panim, that's what allows the kochot hara to take charge, and that's what can create that tidal wave, that earthquake, whatever you want to call it. Right? Does that always have to come from God, though?
Yes.
No, because if we as people all make, not, it doesn't have to be all of us, if many of us make negative free will choices that by our decision cause more hester panim, more light to go away, so the reason why that tidal wave or the reason why that earthquake would happen could very much be because of us.
Yeah.
We don't know. God's ways are mysterious. God's ways are beyond us. Not the way in which reality functions, but we don't know what detail of what thing caused what. We don't know. But you can't say that it's humanity's fault or God's fault without actually really knowing the answer to that question. And the answer is it's a combination of lots of things. People are constantly doing tov, people are constantly doing ra, unfortunately. And God's calculations above all of that are totally unknown to us.
Right.
So we don't know why things happen in this world. But this is how it happens in this world. Asking the question, how could God let that happen, is meaningful. Meaning, let's say so many people push Ra, so many people push Harat Panim out of the way through so many negative actions. Can God overpower that and just create more Harat Panim? Yes. Does that sort of undermine free will? Also, yes. So then what's the point of being here? But could he override it 100%? He's not limited in any way by this structure. Well, no, that's Bikira Chofshi. That's why you have tefillah. And Achinami, that tefillah is a free will decision of Tov to increase Harat Panim.
Okay, right.
But he can override that. He's not limited by the system. Other questions? How are you doing over there?
No, I'm good.
Good?
Yeah.
Because it's clear now. It just totally was not clear before. I apologize. Okay? Good. I'm glad we conquered that together. That was awesome. Okay. The last... I don't know where my foot went. Okay. Last two OTO'd very quickly. We're going to finish up. Vihine. And for people in Chumash, this should be super exciting. Here it comes. You ready? Vihine. Chilukei madregot harbe yesh b'inyan kochot hara shezacharnu v'anishpa mehem. There are many different levels within these kochot hara that we've mentioned, and in terms of what can emanate from them. Uvederech klal. And in general... Nikrad l'nishpa mehem, we call that which is, meaning when a kol chavra is active and it's shooting things down, it's creating realities in this world, when things emanate from these kochot hara, what do we call them? Do they have names? And the answer is yes, they do. They're called tum'ah, choshech, darkness, zuhama, some sort of type of dirt or impurity, ochol, and on the flip side, v'kayotzebo, v'lanishpa me'arat panav, but those things that come from arat panim, b'rachmon nikra, we give names to them as well. Kedusha, tahara, or ubracha, light, blessing, and things like this. V'kayotzebaze. Right? That was a wonderful moment where the two, or Monday, Wednesday, and Tuesday, Thursday come together. For those who are in the Monday, Wednesday classes, we're learning about... We're actually defining these terms right now in the context of Parshat Shemini. But these are how those things fit into this bigger framework. Aval behavchanat pratein anim, but in terms of understanding the details of these things, nafchin minei hasugim ha'elo prateihem, we have to understand the different types and all of their details. That around these things revolve all of the way that God guides the world. God's entire way that He guides the world is through these processes, through these things, through these means. Through these realities in the world. And last but not least, something which we actually spent a lot of time on before, so it should go pretty quickly. All of these things, all of these kochot, nimtzeu pikidim memunim, there are appointed things appointed on each and every one of these kochot. Misug hamalachi, from the malachi class, shebi arna lamal, as we explained before. What is their job, as we explained, lehotzi hadvarim lefoel ar hagashmiut, to bring these things from the koach to the physical realm, whether from the kochot ha-tov or the kochot ha-ra, doesn't matter. That's why you can have good malachim and bad malachim.
But didn't we also define malachim as Ratzon Hashem?
God created this.
Right.
And he said, if Ra's going to happen, it's going to happen this way. And so he creates a malach ha-mashchit. That malach ha-mashchit is stuck here. It can't move out of this box unless we create a reality of Hester Panim, which opens up that box to let it out. But that's what a malach ha-mashchit is. As he says here,
im latov im mutav, whether for good or bad. They are the servants of God doing his will. Shekin ratzav is there, because this is what he wanted and this is how he organized things. Shetiyena gzerot yotzot lemaaseh al yidei malachav, that his gzerot would come out through his malachim. Kifima shehif kidam umasar biyadam, as according to how he appointed them and what he gave over in their hands to accomplish. And that's how things get from those kochot of tov and kochot of ra down to this world. Bezrat Hashem, we should only have it be the kochot of ra that are nishpa and olam hazeh, which is the only kedusha, only tara, only bracha, I missed one, only or, most basic one, right, in this world. It's been an incredible journey with you all getting through Chelek Aleph. You now know, according to the Ramchal, as best as we could have defined it, you now know the foundations of all of reality, Yisodot HaMetziut, and just as incredible, wonderful, and challenging is going to be our journey together through Hashkachat Hashem, learning exactly the way in which God guides. Well, now that we understand the structure, we're going to talk about the general, when, obviously not the details, we never know exactly why God is doing a specific thing at a specific time. We're going to get into many, many more of the global details of how God guides every aspect of this world, from this world to the next world and beyond. So to be continued, Bezrat Hashem, next week with Chelek Bet.